Hello bisexuals, welcome back to another episode of The Bisexual Agenda. I'm your host Kit Scales and it's episode 10. I'm really excited because when I was planning to start this podcast last summer, I'm really bad at like finishing things and I had a lot of creative ideas that never went anywhere. So I decided that I was actually going to do this and I did all my research. The first episode I did, I completely fucked up because I unplugged the mic before I paused the recording and I lost all the audio. And then I had to like recover thousands of files of 3-second audio to try and put it back together. And like, yeah, I did it. I did 10 episodes, which was my goal. And I also had the goal of having like at least 10 people listen to it. And I'm really happy because like now the first episode has over 500 plays and I'm really glad that I kept this going. So I'm gonna have a break after this episode, probably for 1 or 2 months. That's just so I can get some more episodes finished and ready. I'm not feeling super creative at the moment, but also like January and February have been really busy for me. Like I have 2 jobs and it's been a lot. So I just want to give myself some time to sort out some good new episodes, have new guests and things like that. Yeah, so if you have ideas about themes for an episode or if you have any cool friends that would be cool guests that live in Leeds or near Leeds, let me know on my Instagram at the Bisexual Agenda Pod. Just send me anything you want on there. I like it when people message me and follow me on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. If you're a loyal fan, leave a review on Apple Podcasts because I love that shit. And yeah, I'm really excited. Like I have a couple of episodes stored up, but I want to get a few more before I start putting episodes out again. This week, I've got Olivia from episode 2. She's back. She's my housemate and she's the best person of all time. She's so wise. She's so thoughtful. She truly is a radiant Capricorn angel. And we're doing an advice episode. So if you've listened to like all my other episodes, I always say my dream job is just to be like a really unqualified, chaotic, bisexual agony aunt columnist. People have sent me their bisexual dilemmas, which we have affectionately called bilemmas, even though it's kind of awful and cringe. So yeah, we're giving out some unqualified but asked for advice. I thought I'd just let you guys know that we recorded this episode in the middle of a very intense storm. There's some rain sounds in the background, but only for the first 10 minutes, really. I've edited it out as much as I can, but if the rain sounds are pissing you off at the beginning, just skip to like 13 minutes in. And then you can hardly hear it. It brings some atmosphere, it brings some drama. Hopefully it doesn't bug you. So thanks so much for listening. Love you forever. Hope you like the episode. Hello everyone, we're here on this very atmospheric stormy night. Olivia's laughing. Stop laughing! We're here to give some unqualified, unofficial bisexual agony aunt advice. We've got a good mixture because I've had therapy for 8 years. That's my qualification to give this advice. So I know what sensible people should do. Olivia's good at advice and I go to her for advice and she's like the mum friend and she's got the Capricorn sensible energy and I've got the like more crazy Sagittarius energy. I think it's going to be a good balance, right?
Hi, everyone. I feel like I'm terrible at giving advice, but other people think I'm quite good at giving advice. So hopefully my advice is not terrible. Please don't take it too seriously. I think Kit's right when she says that I bring the sensibleness. But the advice I like to take, because of that, the advice I like to take from other people is to be a bit more adventurous as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'll try and give the, like, adventurous vibe. So we've got 5 dilemmas today. 2 of them are quite similar, but they have, like, a different spin on them. Okay, the first one.
I just started listening to your podcast. My best friend and I recently came out as bi, and I want to ask her out, but I'm feeling nervous about it. What should I do? And the backstory to this is they're both 17, they've been friends for 6 years, and they both came out like a year ago. And then they said she told me how she felt last year, but nothing happened. And now I would like something to happen, but I don't know what to do. So I think in the past, her friend has said that she likes her, but nothing came of it. And now she does feel the same.
I mean, I feel like this is a really common bilemma, or not just for bi people, but for queer people in general, that you can end up being attracted to your friends.
Yeah, I think it's like all queer people stick together, especially in school when you're kind of like feeling like the odd ones out. Even if you're not out or you don't realize you're queer, I feel like you end up being in friendship groups that are like completely queer by the time you're like 25 or something. And then it's like a lot of the things that you need to be friends with someone also you need if you're going to be like romantically interested in them. So it makes sense that you fancy your friends because you're like, you like them, you think they're funny, you like spending time with them.
Yeah, and it's almost like, you know, if you develop a really close friendship, in some ways you're developing a lot of the feelings that you get in a relationship. You know, you become close to each other, you share secrets, you communicate and about your wants and needs and desires. And so I think it's a really common thing, and particularly, like you said, at school, if there's not that many other queer people around, you gravitate towards each other. Mm-hmm. And so you know, it's inevitable that feelings are going to occur in that situation.
Yeah.
You know, I feel this particular bilemma, it's like, you know, whatever this person chooses to do is okay. Mm-hmm. If they choose to tell their friend about their feelings, that's okay and that's good. If they choose not to, that's totally fine as well. But what I would say is, if the friend has already in the past said they have feelings for them, then...
What are you waiting for?
You know, they clearly had the courage to be able to do that and didn't feel that it would risk the friendship. So if you're going to not necessarily reciprocate that, but now that you realise that you've got feelings, if you then express them, you know that you've got a friend there who's not going to sort of end the friendship, even if no longer feel the same way.
That's true. I think it's important because, like, they're saying, like, I want to ask her out, but I'm nervous. And I think it's, like, the worst part is, like, the 30 seconds it takes to be, like, I've been thinking about it and I kind of like you. And the second you say it, then you're like, oh, that wasn't as hard as I thought. Do you know what I mean? Because you've been, like, bottling up all the feelings or you've been overthinking it and, like, playing all the conversations in your head. Once you actually say it, it's like, oh. You know, and then it's like the ball is in their court. So, like, you've already done the, like, hard bit, which is, like, thinking about it all the time and questioning yourself and being like, oh, how is it going to go? Like, once you say it, it's kind of, like, up to them, and then that's, like, sometimes freeing because ultimately you're still going to have this friendship even if they don't want to pursue something romantically with you. But it's just, like, nice to be able to say something and be honest even if it doesn't end up going anywhere.
Yeah, I think, like, you know, I've been in this situation.
I've been in this situation like 5 times.
And, you know, I'm in my 30s. I still have these feelings of, you know, this worry that you're going to be rejected or that you could lose, you know, in trying to be honest with your friend, you could end up losing a friendship somehow rather than gaining a partner. And I mean, maybe it does go away. I don't know. It hasn't gone away for me yet.
I think it's something that gets slightly easier if you practice. Because I think something I've been trying to do in the last like couple of years is just like practicing doing conversations that I think will be difficult. Because the more practice you have doing any kind of like difficult or emotional conversation, it gets easier because you've like had some, if once you've had like a few positive responses and you think, oh, actually it's not such a big deal if I want to share this with someone, then it gets easier. But yeah, it's always scary doing this. Like, it's so scary. Even if you're like 99% sure they like you back, it's still like, oh my god, especially if so much of your relationship is like unsaid and then you're suddenly just saying all this stuff out loud, it can be really intense. But I would also recommend not doing it over text, like definitely doing it in person. Just because I feel like sometimes it can be really awkward if you have a conversation over text and some things aren't completely understood or some things are left unresolved. And then the next time you see them in person, sometimes you both pretend nothing happened and then you're kind of back at square one.
Yeah, I think it's actually really important to have these conversations in person. I kind of think we need to kind of normalise talking about this more, because I think, you know, this isn't a situation where it's like, oh, that, you know, there's some people that find doing this really uncomfortable. A lot of people find doing these things really uncomfortable. And that is because we have this kind of... It's to do with the way society treats queer people and treats queer relationships. And, you know, if we can normalise talking about our feelings for each other more, then it helps normalise queer relationships more. It also just helps with things like normalising consent and... you know, all these other huge issues that our communities deal with. So yeah, I'm being a bit disingenuous because, like I say, I still struggle with this myself. But I wish we could normalize talking about these things more, and normalize being able to express your feelings more as a queer person. And so I guess my advice is to do it, but do it in a way where, you know, you kind of let your friend know that you've got something you want to talk about with them, and then you arrange a good time to do it, you know, not sort of crammed in amongst all the usual friendship things that you do together necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make space for it and have the conversation. Because, I mean, it sounds like your friend has done that in the past anyway. So, you know, it should be possible to do it. And, you know, I wish I had a really close friend when I was 17 who, you know, I could fall in love with.
Yeah, and, like, even if you don't end up, like, being in a relationship, I just think it'd be really good if you both know how you feel. Okay, so dilemma number two. Hey, I recently came out as bisexual to my friend, and sometimes I say that I'm gay, and she keeps saying, no, you're bisexual. I've tried to explain it to her, and she isn't picking it up. Love your podcast, by the way. I have listened to the wall. That makes me happy. and then I just asked them, are you saying you're gay in a jokey way, or do you identify as, like, bisexual and gay? Because I just wanted to know. And they just said, when I'm referencing gay people in general and jokey. So I think they're just kind of throwing it out there, which we both do.
Yeah, I mean, I call myself gay.
I fucking love saying I'm gay.
Like, gay is not just a term that is exclusively the preserve of gay men.
Yeah, or lesbians.
It's an umbrella term. You know, you can use gay as a synonym for queer or as a synonym for LGBT, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
It is used by all queer people I know as a synonym and an umbrella term for our community and for themselves and for all, you know, LGBTQ people.
Yeah. I was interested to know whether this friend was straight, but they didn't say. But I think maybe it's something that someone who's straight would understand less.
Yes. I mean, it's possible that this friend is gay as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. Like, there are sadly people who like to keep these terms exclusive, even though that is not how they're used. Either in a day-to-day life or historically, you know, that it's always been an umbrella term. So, you know, in terms of, like, specific advice for what I can tell this person to do, it's how much do you want to explain to your friend about this? Because it takes a lot of effort to explain things to people who don't understand and sometimes don't want to understand. And it's very much your choice as to how much of that explaining you want to do. Because, I mean, from you know, I'm assuming that since they've got in touch with this as a dilemma, you know, this is kind of, it's almost like a microaggression to them.
Mm.
And it's like...
Yeah, well, it's very frustrating when people try to tell you what your sexuality is. Like, even though I say I'm gay and I say I'm bi, it does annoy me when... like, straight people refer to me as being gay, because I know that to them that means lesbian. And that really annoys me, because I'm like, I've really tried to make it so clear that I'm bi. Like, I would much prefer other people always refer to me as bi,
And then I am happy referring to myself as like queer, gay, bi. So it's not like this person is straight and being like, oh, you're gay. It's like they're misunderstanding the fact that there's a crossover there, and they're being like, I think it could be coming from a good place of like, oh, well, I thought you said you were bi. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like they should have one conversation with the friend being like, I actually identify with both and I'm happy to use both kind of interchangeably, and gay to me means this, and just keep it really short. And then if the friend keeps doing it, then they'd have to just be like, hey, stop doing that. It's really annoying.
Yeah, I mean, if the friend is doing this so often and it's making you feel uncomfortable, ultimately, if you want that friendship to continue, you have to have the conversation.
I think you have to give them a shot to be like, oh, sorry, like, I didn't realise that that's what you meant.
Yeah, absolutely. I am very much in favour, particularly when it's something like this, which can be quite easily misunderstood. I think, you know, you have to give people a chance.
Especially as this person, like, recently came out to this person, so maybe their friend's, like, wanting to understand, and they feel like, oh, but I thought you said you were this, you know? So they're, like, actually just trying to make sure they know what their friend wants to identify with, but they're, like, kind of doing it in a misguided way.
Yeah, and, you know, there are, you know, there's a whole host of conversations here around, like, bi erasure and things like that, and the friend may be trying to be well-meaning by saying, you know, oh, I thought you were bisexual, like, because it is important that we recognise that bisexual people exist. Hey, we're here. That's kind of one side of it, but then the other side of it is the terms you use to describe yourself are your terms, and you get to choose those and you get to control them.
Mm-hmm.
And if people are using, you know, are telling you that you can't use certain terms for yourself, obviously, unless they're in like a really problematic way, but mm-hmm. You know, if they're telling you that you shouldn't use this term, you should use this term instead, but you use one or both of those terms, it is your choice to do that. And that's part of how we define ourselves. And being able to define ourselves is really important for us.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if someone's, you know, if you're calling yourself gay and someone's saying, no, you can't use that word, you need to, you know, you do have to kind of say to them, actually, I can.
It's mine for the taking.
Yeah.
I totally agree. I think they're kind of worried about having that conversation with their friend because they think their friend is being well-meaning and they don't want to be like, hey, look, you don't get it. But I think it's like something that they need to do if they want their friend to stop doing it, because they probably don't realise that it's making them uncomfortable.
Yeah, and this doesn't have to be some kind of big angry call out.
No.
You know, you can do it in a sensitive way where it's just like, hey, do you know when you say this, it makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. Would you mind stop doing it?
Mm-hmm.
It is really difficult to kind of challenge these things because, you know, there's kind of so much kind of big hatred out there in the world that we face that sometimes it feels like we're being a bit petty by sort of challenging these small things. But that's not the case. You can challenge them in a different way, but you can still challenge them. You can challenge them in a way that is helping your friend to grow and learn and be more accepting. It is your choice as to whether you do that.
Yeah. You're definitely allowed to say you're gay and bi.
Oh, yeah.
And like there's, I think there's some things that people think are, like, contradictory or don't go together, but it's, like, you can literally be any combination of anything that you want, essentially.
I would say unless it's, in terms of identifying with parts of the sort of queer spectrum, you can pretty much choose to be whatever you want unless you're being somehow racially appropriative.
Yeah.
Basically.
Okay, so number three is from someone I know, so I have like infinite context on this one, if you have
infinite context.
I do. So I've said, I don't know how to put it, but after your first gay experience, does this make you bisexual? So they're a girl who has like always had relationships with men and identified as straight and has had like some girl crushes, but more recently they've slept with a woman and now they're asking if that means they're bisexual now.
I mean, it does if they liked it.
What?
Well,
that's really not what I thought you were going to say. I thought you were going to say if they like the term bi.
I mean, I think that's what I am saying, but like...
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, if you know, they've had relationships with guys,
mm-hmm.
they've had crushes on girls, mm-hmm. and now they've had a sexual experience with a girl.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, firstly, do they want to identify as bi?
That's the only thing you really need to ask yourself. Yeah. Because, like, if it doesn't really fit right with you and you're like, I don't really feel like this word is for me, like, it's not really fitting right when I say it or when I think it doesn't seem right to me, then you don't have to go with that. Like, yeah. Ultimately, like, the only reason we use labels is to, like, communicate things about ourselves to people more efficiently. So, like, when I'm saying I'm bi, I'm like, who knows who I'll turn up with, like, to this party? Like, who knows? Will it be a boyfriend, girlfriend? It could be anyone, you know? So I'm just trying to, like, convey to people that I'm attracted to multiple genders. And, like, some people would rather call themselves pansexual or queer and, like, don't define themselves as bisexual. That's totally cool. And also, if you want to continue calling yourself straight because that's what you identify with and that's how you feel, even though you've had this experience, that's fine.
Yeah, it's like your sexual experiences don't have to define
Your sexuality. Yeah.
Like...
Because also, like, you can want to explore things in order to learn more about your sexuality without them then defining what your sexuality is. Because, yeah. like, a lot of lesbians, like, sleep with men before they come out as lesbian. That doesn't mean that they were straight and they're now lesbian, you know?
Yeah, and it's like, I... knew I was bi before I'd had relationships with different genders.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, it's not the act that defines you. It's how you choose to define yourself. And ultimately, if this question is broader than simply a definition, if it's about like when I kind of made the joke at the beginning, if they liked it, it's like, that's not to do with whether they identify as bi or not, mm-hmm. but that's to do with whether they want to continue having relationships in the future. If that's the kind of dilemma they're facing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, ultimately, only try and have relationships with the people that you like, I guess.
Yeah. Because also it's like, I don't know. You don't necessarily need to think about that experience in terms of whether it makes you bi now or whatever. And also, like, just because you had sex with a woman doesn't necessarily mean it was like a gay experience, like if you identify in a different way. And I think maybe just think about that experience in terms of like what it made you think about, like how it made you feel, like whether it was something that like you had thought about before and you liked in reality, yeah. or something that you liked more as an idea and you yeah. don't want to explore again. Like that's more productive, because like ultimately the only person who cares about the label you choose to put on yourself if you want to is you. Like if it's something that you're not connecting with or you don't feel like it's a good fit, there's no problem. But also like just in case you're like, oh, I don't feel like I can identify as like bi or queer because I've only had this one experience and before I always thought I was straight, it's like, don't pay attention to anyone who will ask for like evidence that you're bi or queer, or is like, so how many women have you slept with then? Like they're just being a nosy dick, yeah. and they can fuck off.
Yeah, you absolutely do not need to sort of evidence your bisexuality or your queerness in any way. How you define yourself and who you choose to have sex with is your business.
Mm-hmm.
And all that matters is that the kind of labels that you put on yourself are meaningful for you, and the relationships that you have with people are also meaningful and hopefully enjoyable for you.
Yes, I hope you had a great time.
Yeah, we definitely hope you had a great time.
I hope you had a great time. I hope you learned something about yourself. I hope it was all that you imagined and more. Like, you don't need to worry about stuff like that, especially if it's worrying you and you're, like, spending time being like, oh, no, does this mean this? Like, it only means whatever you attach to it.
I think there can be, like, this idea of, like, you know, if this is the first time you're exploring your sexuality, though, there can be this kind of, like, oh my god, shit, I'm bi, what the hell? Ah! Like, this kind of, like, panic, almost, when yeah. It's like this panic of realization.
Mm. Also, like, I guess sometimes, like, you think it should be a bigger deal than it actually is to you. Like, maybe to them it's actually not that big a deal that they've slept with a woman, even though for all this time before they identified as straight, and they're like, oh, no big deal. Like, that actually doesn't really change anything for me. You don't need to overthink it and think, oh, yeah, but that should mean something more. Like,
I think it's easy. It is easy to overthink things, but it's also natural to overthink things as well. Particularly, you know, if it is your first experience and mm-hmm. you are just beginning to explore your sexuality or your gender, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of natural to feel this anxiety of like, oh my God, does this mean I'm bi? Does this mean I'm trans? You know, does this mean I'm gay? That's a natural reaction because of the way that, you know, society treats queer people.
Yes. Yeah. Sad times.
It's sad the way society treats queer people, but it's also super enjoyable when you have these realizations.
Yeah. Also, like, talk to your bisexual friends about this. Like, share what you thought about the experience with your bi friends or your other queer friends. And I think they'll be way more accepting, and they won't be like, well, hopefully they wouldn't be like, oh, does this mean you're bi now? Does this mean you're gay now? You know, hopefully they'll just want to like let you explore it with them and talk about it with them. Basically, you're the only person that knows if you're bi. And if you're not sure, that's fine. Okay, the next one is the hardest dilemma. So they've said, how to not get trapped in queer mass/femme constellations when that's not what you want. And they said, I'm a non-binary person who presents vaguely masculine. I never feel like I can/know how to pursue other mask people, like men or butch queer women. So they mean like in a romantic sense, and they don't want to be part of the like, everyone's got to be femme butch couples, and that's the only thing that is working.
I mean, absolutely, we should try and avoid pigeonholing everyone into femme butch couplings as if they're the only sort of natural queer pairings that might exist. I think as someone who's quite femme, I find it tricky to offer some really good advice on to someone who's fairly mask and mm-hmm. how to pursue other mask leaning people. I mean, I wish I was better at talking to butchers and flirting with them.
Don't we all? This is like, I also want to know. Like, I do not know. I'm quite bad at like flirting with people in real life, but also I do kind of connect to this because like I'm super femme and like I like everyone. Like, I like really butch people, I like super femme people, I like people in the middle, like any gender. So I think sometimes it can be annoying, especially if people know that who you've previously dated, and then they presume that's what you always want. Like, if this person has dated a really femme person in the past, people might like assume that's their type, but really their type is like way broader than that. But I think the only way you can either just hit on people really obviously in real life, or you can go on a dating site and then you can actually specify what you want, and then you might attract that easier. But also, dating sites are shit and no one talks to anyone.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really difficult because I feel like we're actually in a queer community that has a fairly good mix. Like, obviously there are, you know, the butch femme dynamic or the mask femme dynamic or however you want to mm-hmm. describe it exists in the community that we're in. But I feel like we're in a community, we're very fortunate to be in the community that we're in
mm-hmm.
where, you know, butch for butch or mask for mask and femme for femme relationships are pretty well accepted, and there is, you know, evidence of them happening in and amongst mm-hmm. our friends and people we know, and also amongst like ourselves. I think, you know, it can be tricky to kind of, you know, if you are in a community which has, you know, this not necessarily like policed dynamic, but you know, it's just so obvious that's the dynamic of the community and other dynamics aren't apparent, and that's not the dynamic that you want, that can be really difficult. Because, you know, dynamics become like a natural thing, and they just become, you know, accepted as the default. So, you know, it can be like, if you're going against that, you know, it's almost like coming out again.
Yeah. And also I think maybe what they mean is like people that they're trying to like approach and flirt with aren't recognizing that as flirting because they're like not reading it in that way. I think also like no queer people really know how to flirt. We don't know like what the rules are for like courting as such, because like I think with butch and femme stuff it's easier to follow the like film like romance like boy meets girl thing and just like try and paste it onto like a queer relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like, even though it's not the same as like a straight relationship, I think there's this idea of like butch and femme roles. So like if you're trying to like flirt with someone, it's kind of like you can play up to that if you want, and then they kind of get it. But I think if you're like trying to go outside of that, especially like as a femme person, when I try to flirt with femme people, sometimes they just think I'm being super nice. And like, obviously it's like, it's hard to be like, especially if you're not a very forward person, or like if you're less confident, that's can be kind of difficult.
Oh yeah. And as a, you know, a very shy person who is hopeless at flirting, like it's super common in our community to not be good at flirting and to not have the confidence to, you know, to be at an event or, you know, bar, whatever it is, and think, oh, I'm going to go chat with this butch or this femme or this person.
It's really hard, especially if they're like people that you already know. That makes it even more difficult sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, again, that's really common as well in our communities, that, you know, our communities are usually quite small,
mm-hmm.
and it's easy to know a lot of people, to know most people in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And that can make flirting hard.
Yeah. I think also I like just telling everyone I know who I fancy. Get the word out there, you know? Tell people what you like and like who you fancy. And if you're worried that people have the wrong conception about like what you find attractive.
Yeah, I actually think that's quite a good advice, because you can, you know, you don't necessarily have to think, oh, that's the person I fancy, I must go flirt with them straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to someone else and say, I actually really fancy this person.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, see what they say, and, you know, do it in a less, you know, I think it's easy to get into your head this idea of what flirting is, and it feels like it comes from a very cis heteronormative place, where it's like a guy goes into a bar and like chats up this woman that's at the bar, and he's really suave and cool and handsome, and then she falls in love with him. It's like, that's probably not what flirting actually is.
I'm like a flirting expert. As like a Libra dominated woman, I flirt with everyone, and I actually find it way easier to be really flirtatious with my friends and not people I actually want to date.
You know, yeah, I've noticed that.
Yeah, I hit on Olivia every day. But, like, I think also just, like, maybe take the, like, goal out of flirting. So, like, if you are trying to chat someone up, just do it in, like, a fun way and you're actually just trying to get to know them. Not like, oh, I'm trying to ask this person out and make them know that I fancy them. Like, that's a bit intense sometimes.
Yeah.
It's better just to, like, see how it goes with someone and see what the vibe is between you. And then if you're scared of, like, asking people out in real life, like, I usually just, if I meet someone who I really like at a party or something, I just text them the next day, like, oh, I thought it was really cool to meet you, like, I'd like to go on a date sometime. And then if they're like, oh, no, I kind of want to be friends, it's, like, very low stakes at that point, because you've only met them once, so whatever, you can just be friends, you know? And then it's less scary, because you don't have to, like, deal with it in person. You can just be sad for like 2 hours and then get over it.
I think you could, you know, I think it's good to just go and flirt with people, even if you don't necessarily have kind of serious long-term intentions. It's kind of good and fun to be flirty. And if you find that people are assuming that you're into a certain type of people and that's not correct, If you can, then you can potentially start to change people's perceptions by flirting with the people you...
Or just saying they're super hot. Or maybe, like, get some badges that say, like, mask for mask.
Yeah.
Or, like, I fucking love butch women.
It's about communicating in a way that says who you are and who you're interested in. And as queer people, that's often quite difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there have been numerous different ways that queer people have communicated with, you know, have tried to develop to communicate these things in the past. I'm not going to go into them because I honestly don't actually know enough about them. I know that they have existed, The only way people can know who you're into is if you let them know that you're into them.
Yeah.
That doesn't have to be on an individual one-to-one basis. It can be more about, you know, advertising yourself.
Yeah.
To use a quite horrible term. In a more broad sense, I guess.
Also, I think because they're saying that they're like a queer person who's interested in men. If it's like men aren't thinking of you as like available or someone that they can flirt with because they're like, oh, there's that queer person, I think sometimes that is another problem.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that's very much because like the person said they're like non-binary as well. That's, you know, there's also like a whole heap of transphobia potentially in there.
Yeah.
That this idea that if you're a masculine non-binary person, you know, it's that it's almost like accepted that you would never be into men, cis men.
Also, I think that like, I think people have very limited ideas about like the way that people present themselves physically and what that means about who they're attracted to, because it's like, it actually doesn't mean anything. I think this is why I thought that like maybe going on like a dating site where you can like list off things that you want, because like on Hinge where they have the questions, it will be like stuff that you can put on there, like stuff that you find attractive. So you could be like, I really like mask people, including men and butch women, but I'm also interested in like femme people and I'm bi, you know, and then like people will know, like people who wouldn't necessarily see you at a bar and think, oh, maybe like they're my type or I'm their type, because you've actually said it explicitly, that kind of makes it a bit easier. But then you have to deal with like being queer on a dating app, which is like so whack.
Yeah.
So
I feel like if you're queer on a kind of queer friendly dating app, it's
yeah. But like, I don't know if that will yield many results, because like even when I've had like nearly 100 matches on dating apps, I've been on like 5 dates in total.
Yeah.
So it doesn't often translate into very many in real life dates, but also maybe that will make you like more confident telling people who you're attracted to if you just like put it out in that way first.
I mean, yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to try things out.
You know, dating apps can certainly be a trial by fire, I think.
Mm.
No, I don't necessarily mean the dates that you go on, just the people that you can talk to, particularly as a trans person. But, you know, I guess, it really depends who you are as to whether it's something that would build up your confidence or do the opposite. So I think as a trans person, you do have to be careful as someone who's used dating apps. I mean, a lot of the trans people I know use dating apps, and I think, you know, quite a few of the trans men and mask non-binary people I know, and the trans women, to be quite honest, are on Grindr. But obviously that is, you know, it can be, you know, quite a brutal place to be a trans person.
Yeah. It's hard out there. But also maybe go to like a queer place where like those people who know you won't be there, because then no one has like preconceived ideas about who you're attracted to. And you can just kind of like hit on people that you don't know, and there's nothing, there's like no background stuff there.
Yeah, but I mean,
then it's like, where do you find that?
That can be easier said than done as well. And it's, you know, it's really difficult because I don't know where this person is from. And it's like, and you know, unless you've got a really, you know, it sounds like they've got a pretty good queer community around them. I think also that in some queer communities, there can be a big divide between gay men and kind of non-binary trans and, you know, bisexual and lesbian women.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're then a queer person who's interested in men, it's, you know, it's like, well, they can effectively almost be in this completely separate community to you.
Yeah. What do, like, butch people like to do? Like, maybe, like, go to some woodwork class or, like, a gay football match. I found loads of gay people at a pottery class, so I would recommend a pottery class. Think of hobbies that butch people like and then start doing them. That's my last resort.
But it feels like this person knows plenty of butch people and mask people, but
they just want to hit on them.
Yeah, like, so it feels like they've got the community, but the community is just making assumptions about them, and possibly in a more generalized sense about what, you know, about how queer relationships work, and that can be kind of a lonely place. But what I would also say is there must, you know, if there is, if you are in this community and you have this community,
also this person is really hot,
there will be other people feeling like the, you know, the, there will be other people in their community feeling like this.
There's definitely at least like 10% of people that fancy you in any given situation.
Yeah. You know, it's like, I almost wonder if it's like, could you even like run a little social group and say this is a coffee meetup for, you know, mask for mask people?
Yeah, do a speed like, dating night.
You know, just put it out there and see who turns up, because you might be surprised that, but there yeah. will be also people in sure your community that, yeah. who feel the same way.
And also don't rule people out who you think won't be interested in you. Do you know what I mean? Like, don't put that on yourself, being like, oh, well, they think I like this. Like, just tell them that you fancy them.
Yeah.
Yes. I support the badge movement. I feel like everyone needs a badge maker and they can just put everything they want everyone to know on at all times. If you're bi, you definitely have a really good jacket and you can put them on there. Let's do the next one. Okay, this one's really long, so I'm going to try and paraphrase. And this one that is basically the same as the first dilemma, but it has like...
More detail.
Okay, so they're non-binary and bisexual, but they're saying they present as male. They're like not really out. So the person they have a crush on is a bisexual woman who's more masked as well. And they have a friend crush on them. But they're like one of their closest friends, and they're one of the only people who know that they're non-binary. So they said, I've developed more romantic feelings for her for about a year now. It's non-sexual. They just want to cuddle and watch gay shit. And they think they're lacking some platonic intimacy that girl/girl friendships can have because they're seen as a guy. But at the end of the day, they just want to hang out with this person and have like a romantic friendship, I think. And they've been trying to hit on this person, but they're not really like picking up on the cues. So, and they also said they know that even if they told this friend like all their feelings, they definitely wouldn't end the friendship. And they've also said, I don't know anything about astrology, but you seem to value it. She also is a bit into it. I'm a Pisces. She is a Taurus.
Well, I'll let you answer the astrology.
I don't know what the compatibility is like with that. They're very different signs. But I think Tauruses love gifts. So what I would do would be like a small romantic gesture that included a cute gift.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that she's misreading the signs. I don't know. It's possible she's misreading the signs because the signs you're giving aren't the signs she needs.
Yeah.
Or she wants. You know, as someone who, you know, as a trans woman, I can definitely relate to this feeling of, you know, wanting kind of a platonic, like, let's just cuddle and hang time with other women, and feeling excluded from that because you don't fit the, you know, well, either because you're not a woman or because you don't fit the definition of what a woman looks like in our society. And, you know, that is actually, you know, if that's something you want, like, I mean, honestly, like, the times I spend hanging with other women now and is the best times of transitioning and, oh my and God. Being out.
I love it.
You know, I wouldn't necessarily, like, I mean, it perhaps is romantic for this person, but for me, it's mm-hmm. friendship. But,
yeah.
Those kind of things are really beautiful. And I think they can be seen as romantic in a way. The kind of, you know, non-sexual closeness.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, you know, as a trans person, it's difficult because sometimes, you know, even people who can be really accepting, there can still be these boundaries in there.
Mm-hmm.
It's sometimes frustrating as a trans person or as a non-binary person in this case to come up against that with people you're close to.
Yeah, and I think also because they're not out to most of the people they're friends with, I think maybe part of why they're like
wanting all this closeness from like a really select few people is because they only feel completely comfortable with those very few people. So like they don't want to have these more intimate friendships with people that they're not out to. I think from what they're saying, it doesn't necessarily sound like they want to be in a like romantic relationship with this person. And I think it would be totally fine to just say like, hey, like I'd love to like hug, or like, how do you feel about that? Because like some people are really touchy-feely, and like I love hugging my friends and like cuddling up on the sofa and stuff. And like if your friend is someone who's cool with that, I don't think they'll see that as like a big ask or like something that's weird. Like a lot of people, like regardless of gender, are like cuddling and stuff with their friends. So I think they need to know that they're like not asking too much if they want to have that with like any of their friends. Like if their friends are comfortable with that, like that's fine.
Yeah, and it is, you know, I feel like a lot of these dilemmas, they do come down to communication. And like, I know it feels cliche to say, oh, well, you just need to talk about it. You just need to express your feelings. It's like, because expressing your feelings is actually really, 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 really fucking hard.
It's so hard.
And so, like, don't feel bad about not being able to express your feelings towards people.
Yeah.
You know.
I think it's really good that, like, they've recognized that it's something that they feel like they're missing and something that they want. Like, they want more, like, physical closeness with their friends. And, like, they want to have these, like, cute, like, sleepover kind of things going. And it's, like, I think they're kind of thinking they have, because they're, like, keeping some of the stuff private, I think they're, like, worried about how to convey some of it without saying everything. And it's like, you could just start with really small things. And like, the next time you see this person, you could be like, hey, I'd like a hug. Like, is that cool? And most people like would be cool with that. And if they're not, like a lot of people don't like to be touched, like that's fine. That's just about them.
Yeah. I mean, it's about communicating your needs and your desires, and then also respecting other people's needs and desires. Mm-hmm. That's how things should work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ultimately, it's communicating as queer people is difficult because we have to learn the language to communicate our needs and desires because, you know, well,
they're not shown to us in any context.
Yeah, they're not, you know, we're not taught about them, we're not shown them. And, you know, in some cases, you know, the language that we need to express them, it's only just being created. Ideas around, you know, being romantically attracted to someone but not sexually attracted to them, the feelings that we're expressing are not new, but the terminology and the words and the language to describe them is relatively new. That makes it hard, but the only way that you can get what you want is to express your feelings to other people. You know, figuring out a way to do that.
Yeah, and even if, like, you're not out to people, like, it's completely fine to, like, want to have that closeness, like, without people knowing about your gender. Like, I think it's not just, like, girls that have, like, close, like, platonic intimacy with their friends. Like, you can say, like, you can invite, like, your four best friends to your house and be like, I want to do, like, a face mask night. I want to do, like, a nail painting and movie night, or, like, whatever would, like, make you feel like cozy and nice. Also, just watch Queer Eye with everyone. It's like the cutest, most wholesome, like bonding experience of all time. I think also, like, don't put everything on this one person. Like, you can try and like get the intimacy from other people, so it's not like, I think there's a lot wrapped up in this friendship because it's obviously like intense for a number of reasons. I would just be careful not to like put this friend on a pedestal or something, because I think it's easy to do that with people that you like and admire, and then sometimes it becomes like a lot.
Yeah, I think it can be, you know, particularly if it's someone who's really close to you, and you know, perhaps they're, you know, your kind of only best friend or one of a few really close friends. You know, you can almost want too much from them, and it's like ultimately you will hopefully have lots and lots of friendships over the course of your life and lots of relationships. And it's okay to have different friendships and different relationships which meet kind of different needs. But, you know, ultimately you won't know which friendship is going to meet which need unless mm-hmm. you can kind of communicate those needs.
Yeah. Also, like, I guess it can feel a bit weird to, like, try and introduce, like, more intimacy into a friendship that's already established. Like, if you're not friends that, like, cuddle or hug or, like, do cute stuff, like, it could feel a bit weird trying to introduce that. But I think it's kind of just, like, the more you do it, if they're comfortable with that, then it will just become normal. Because, like, me and Amelia have been friends for years, and then I suddenly realized we, like, never hug. And now we hug.
Yeah, I do think there is... And I think this is really related to transness as well,
mm-hmm.
is that, you know, it's like subtly changing the way you communicate with people. And this doesn't have to be just be through physical mm-hmm. communication in terms of like, oh, we never used to hug, now we hug. It can just be the way, you know, the way that you message them and just
get that purple heart emoji.
You know, just the language that you use around them can, you know, kind of subtly communicate that mm-hmm. you want a more... platonic but physically closer relationship.
Yeah. And also I think if you are concerned that people are gonna like misread what you're doing and they're gonna see it as sexual, like you can just be clear about that's not what it is. Like from the outset you could just be like, oh, I'd love to like be closer with my friends, like I feel like I'm missing a bit of like physical like closeness, like I like to hug my friends, I like to hold hands with my friends, and it's like completely platonic. Then, like, you're not worried about, like, oh, all my friends thinking I'm hitting on them when I actually just want to, like... And also, like, not everyone's going to read stuff like that in a sexual way. And I think a lot of queer people are worried about, like, their straight friends or, like, their friends in general thinking that they're attracted to them just because they're, like, being nice and affectionate. And it's, like, yeah. I think you can often read the vibe.
Yeah. I just think that there's, you know, this person... You know, they're not out as non-binary to many people.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's like they're kind of living day to day, not being able to express their gender
mm-hmm.
most of the time, I assume.
Yeah.
Being able to express your gender is not just being able to put a name to it. It's, you know,
it's like not trying to police how you're coming across all the time, being like, oh, does this make me seem too la la la?
Yeah. And it is about expressing behaviours that you've perhaps wanted to express but haven't felt able to express. And it's not easy to go from kind of not expressing them at all to being totally open and wonderful and like, yay, isn't everything amazing? You have to do things kind of, not necessarily slowly, but you have to kind of do it in small steps.
Also, I think,
steps that you're comfortable with.
Yeah, and also, like, even if, like, to you these steps feel huge, like, to other people, I don't think they would be that noticeable or that, like, oh, that's weird, this person's, like, suddenly super different.
Yeah.
Like, I think maybe don't worry too much about that. And I think they could just have a conversation with this friend being like, I really value our friendship, I love that I can be myself around you, I would like to have more, like, platonic intimacy with you, I'd like to do this and this, like, how do you feel, you know?
Yeah, but, you know,
or just invite them to do cute things with you.
Yeah, but it can just be like, you know, when you see them, hug them, when, you know,
mm-hmm.
it can be little things like that, and it's like you gradually build up your confidence, and then suddenly suddenly you find that, you know, they've obviously already got a really close friendship, but it becomes a close friendship which you know, it just naturally evolves into that state which meets their needs better. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's part of becoming more confident in who you are and what you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because it is, like, I think it's something that they can do without having to talk about it if that's something that they find really difficult. Do you know what I mean? Like, if they don't want to have a big conversation with the friend where they say, actually, I have these feelings for you.
But I think it can, you know, that conversation doesn't need to happen straight away. They can make subtle changes, which will make that more obvious so that eventually the conversation will come naturally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everyone, good luck. I want them to get back to me and see how everything goes.
I mean, I really hope everyone solves their dilemmas. Please don't take any of my advice too seriously. I feel like I struggle with all these things and
We're all just in it together. We're all just struggles to funk together. We've all had basically all of these problems.
Yeah. And, you know, it's like I'm a shy trans woman and I'm in my 30s and I still struggle with all these things, and that's okay.
Being shy is bi culture.
Yeah.
Like, it's hard out here. I think a lot of people are terrified of, like, being misunderstood or, like, being misinterpreted and people, like, reading things that they do wrong. And it's like, ultimately, that's going to happen. Like, you've just got to do what you want to do. Some people are going to get it and some people won't get it. But it's better than just, like, being paralyzed and indecision and not doing anything for, like, fear of how people are going to take it. Like, ultimately, it's better to know.
Yeah.
I think, even though it's, like, scary finding out.
Yeah, I think it's easy to let fear kind of, like, override your decision-making powers, I guess.
Oh my god, yeah. It's very easy. But also, at the end of the day, it's like, you either take a small risk and it's going to work out well or not go how you expected, or you'll never know and you'll always stay in the same position that you are now, and then it's like, nothing ever changes.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, none of, you know, all of the dilemmas we've heard tonight, you know, none of them are as daunting as, say, coming out is daunting. Because
mm-hmm.
coming out can, you know, it can lose your family, relationships, job. And, you know, it can literally put you in danger.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas, you know, if you're talking about expressing your feelings towards a friend and they don't reciprocate in those feelings, obviously that's upsetting.
Mm-hmm. But also, it's like something that everyone can relate to. It's like, yeah. That is human life.
Yeah, that is literally human life. And, you know, if that's what happens and you tell your friend that you have feelings for them and they're like, actually, I just see you as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if it ends up in the worst way possible and you know, this does harm the friendship, you will have other friends in the future and you will have other relationships in the future. And being, you know, getting stuck in a place where you're just fixated on one possible relationship, which might happen or might not happen, and which is potentially preventing you from exploring other relationships, it's kind of much better to know rather than just be stuck with this anticipation.
Yeah, and also,
something
like,
that might or might not happen.
Yeah, like, one thing I regret is, like, when I have had feelings for friends in the past and I've then told them about it, I've then, like, never spoken to them about it again. And, like, you can't really sort everything out in one conversation because, like, a lot of the times people just didn't expect you to say that and they don't really know how they feel. And I think it's good to, like, have that initial conversation and then, like, a couple of weeks later just check back in and be like, hey, so I know we had that conversation, like, how are you feeling about it? Like, do you feel like we need to, like, talk about it more? Or, like, are you happy to just kind of, like, move on or whatever? Because I think in the past I've, like, ended up in a situation where I've just felt like things are, like, unresolved. But it's because I've only been willing to talk about it once. And then I'm like, let's pretend it never happened again. You know, it's like sometimes it's better to, like, try and work through it with the other person rather than... Especially, like, if it goes badly or, like, not how you wanted. Like, if you then, like, shut down and, like, think that's how it's always going to go, like, that just puts you further, like, in your little shell.
Yeah, and I also think that if it does go wrong, if, you know, if you tell a long-time friend that you have feelings for them and then they say that they don't have feelings for you and it goes... I think, you know, sometimes you can... And certainly I've done this in the past where I've then got it into my head. It's like, oh my God, I can't actually be friends with this person now because they'll just think I'm trying to hit on them and they'll think my friend...
Or you
friend,
just feel so embarrassed.
Yeah, they'll think my friendship is disingenuous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's almost been... Then it's like, it's actually me who's ended that friendship. I think, like, yeah, what you're saying is right. It's like,
also,
you need
like,
to...
give yourself time. Like, if it does hurt you and you're like, actually, I need to, like... take a step back from this friendship for a little bit of time so I can, like, go back to how we used to be. Like, that's cool, but just, like, communicate that with them so they don't then feel like they've lost a friendship that they cared about and they're like, oh, I never meant for that to happen. It's one of the hardest ones, but it happens so much. You'll definitely encounter this dilemma again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe we'll come back to this dilemma in a year's time and, you know... I'll have a totally different take on it depending on where I am. And
It's true. Ultimately, I've never regretted telling someone like how I felt about them, even when it hasn't gone perfectly, because then it's like you can go from there rather than being stuck in the like what if situation, which becomes like so like tumultuous, and it's all in your own head. And sometimes it's actually just nice to share it with someone else, and then it isn't this like huge thing that you're always like thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, looking back, even when it has gone badly, I felt better about it. Maybe not immediately afterwards, but like when I'm looking back now, you know, I feel better about being honest with those people.
Mm-hmm. I think it's just good practice. Like, yeah. It does become easier once you've done it a few times.
I mean, I still feel...
Already, I find it easier now. But now, like, I find it a lot harder if I've liked the person for a really long time and we have a friendship. But now, like, to try and make that easier, if I meet someone, like, straight away who I'm attracted to, I try and tell them straight away. So I'm, like, telling people my feelings more, like, straight up.
Yeah.
Do you know? It's a hard nut life. Yeah, please don't take our advice, but consider it. I think
get advice from as many people as you feel comfortable with. We are not experts. We're just
two bisexuals struggling in the world, just like you. Yeah.
But yeah, I hope all the people who've asked. Who've like submitted dilemmas. I hope they like find happiness because everyone deserves happiness.
Yes, I love it.